The Journey Into podcast is proud to present This Journey Into a Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. A Journey Into Star Wars, featuring numerous delusions of grandeur.
Over the course of about 2 weeks, we have been, or will be, featuring episodes of Delusion of Grandeur that have been previously released on a separate feed. If you've already heard these episodes, then perhaps you'll enjoy hearing them again. If not, when we're finished up here, you can come back and join us for future delusions as well as future journeys into history or science fiction or horror or fantasy or the variety of other things that we like to feature here on the podcast. This delusion was originally published on May 13th, 2014.
Okay, this is your guys' show, so do your thing.
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshal Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsteef podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Marshall and Rish believe they have something interesting to say about the decades-old franchise, its characters, the players behind the scenes, and the new adventures to come. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Welcome to the Star Wars Delusions of Grandeur podcast.
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
I am your host, Marshall Latham.
And I am your anti-host, Rish Outfield. And thank you for joining us once again.
And we're here to talk about Star Wars. We have Big Anklevich with us once again.
Hi, everybody.
You're sort of our third wheel, Big.
Yeah, I'm the one that makes the tricycle stand up.
You're our recurring cast member.
Yeah, I'm like those annoying Saturday Night Live recurring characters that are like funny the first two or three times, and then they just get so tiresome that you're just like, please, retire, Opera Man, okay?
Opera Man.
It's the Bigster.
That's right. Gappies.
And the Rish Man.
Rish hey. Meister. Rishalisha Ding Dong.
Well, hey, before we get going on our subject of the day, I did want to kind of circle back and talk a little bit about last time when we were talking with Dave Robison. I was explaining to him how my first experience with Star Wars was with a record album that was made of the movie using sound effects.
And this is the story of Star Wars. You can read along with this in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear R2-D2 beep like this. Go, Rish. I had that same record.
Well, this one was a little bit different.
Then I had a different record.
It was a record. It was called The Story of Star Wars. And it had, I just lost it. Roscoe Lee Brown read it, or he was the narrator, but it used sound effects and the dialogue from the movie, and all the music was there for it. So it was pretty much just an abridged version of Star Wars that could fit on an LP. And I actually found it on YouTube and listened to it again. It brought back good memories. So I'll have to post a link to that.
Yeah, send me the link. I wanna check it out because I'm pretty sure I had that.
That's how I first saw The Empire Strikes Back, was listening to Roscoe Lee Coltrane. What was his name?
Roscoe Lee Brown.
Roscoe Lee Brown tell the story and hear the clips. And then I saw it in my mind's eye. And that was before Empire came out on video cassette. And then I was able to actually see the movie. But I listened to that abridged. I had it on cassette.
I believe they did that.
And they did one for Jedi as well.
I can't remember if I had it on cassette or on record. Must have been cassette.
It's about 55 minutes long. And I remember every time I'm watching Star Wars, I know when it's about the halfway mark, it's when the Millennium Falcon is being pulled into the Death Star. And the guy's on the thing saying, the tractor beam has been engaged. Clear these doors, or whatever he's saying. And the John Williams music is going. And that's when I had to flip the record over.
Turn the tape over, flip the record?
Yeah.
Huh.
I looked that up, so I thought I'd follow up with that.
Well, cool.
Information.
So anyhow, the reason we're all together today is because there have been new developments in the Star Wars universe. And there's been a lot of secrecy behind the new movie, and they've been trying to keep a lid on who's in it and what it's about and what characters are going to be participating and how big their parts are. And then Disney, I guess it is, I don't know who decides these things, Lucasfilm, made an announcement where they announced the main cast of Episode 7. And I was at work where there's no internet, and Big sent me a text and he said, you know, what do you think? I'm like, I'm trying not to, kid. And he said, no, you know, about the, they announced the cast of Episode 7. And so I, as soon as I could, I broke away and I said, and I called him and I said, okay, I just tell me who is it? Because I wasn't in front of a computer. And where were you? How did you find these things out, Marshall?
Yeah. When Kennedy was shot, where were you?
I was behind the library.
Yeah, it's one of those moments that you just, Kennedy was shot, Challenger blew up, September 11th, and Star Wars 7 cast announced. All the big moments of the 20th and 21st century.
Yeah, I was at work and had looked at Facebook, and IO9 had a article about it, so I jumped over to it, found out.
Yeah, I think that's how I found out, was via Facebook, who somebody had linked to an article of it. I'm looking, I just searched Star Wars 7 cast here and brought it up on the screen, and they have Peter Mayhew on here. Do you think that's possible, that Peter Mayhew will be back to be Chewbacca? Is he can't even walk anymore, can he? Doesn't he have to be brought to, like, because he was at a convention that you went to recently, wasn't he, when he was in the wheelchair, and they're doing, like, fundraisers to try and get him medical care and stuff?
Right, he needed surgery. And they were doing a fundraiser to get him that surgery, but he got it. And as far as I know, you know, he's walking again.
Oh yeah,
and he's sitting in the chair at the table read.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh,
if you look at that picture on IO9, it's that black and white picture of all of them sitting around.
Yeah, I've seen the picture, but it's such a wide shot that I can't, and I've never been able to see a huge blow up where I could actually zoom in and be like, oh, this is this person, and you know, okay, now I can see who's there. It just looks like a bunch of people sitting around from every shot that I've seen of it.
Marshall, would you go ahead and be master of ceremonies and present this list?
I will present the list.
After the opening of the show, the cast list.
Here we go. All right, we have Harrison Ford. I'm just going to kind of go around the people that I know sitting at the table read. So Harrison Ford is next to Abrams. And next to him is an actress named Daisy Ridley. She's one of the only females in the cast, or at least of the new actors. And then Carrie Fisher is sitting there next. So the new member is between Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. And then we have Peter Mayhew. And then I'm going to have to punt here. I'll just read the rest of the list here. So the rest of the cast, we have John Boyega. Is that right?
Uh-huh. I don't know if that's how you say it, but that is one of them.
That is one of them. And I guess he was in Attack the Block, which I haven't seen. Have you guys seen that movie?
I have, yeah. Everybody was like, wow, this is a star-making performance for this guy. This guy's, you can tell this guy is going to be famous one day. And here he is.
Yeah, remember, you're talking to Rish, so you don't need to say, have you guys seen that one? Just say, Rish, what did you think of it?
What did you think of that movie? What did you think of Leprechaun 3?
Leprechaun 3 was the Vegas one, right? It wasn't great, but...
See what I mean?
All right, next is Adam Driver.
Yeah, no, Big told me this on the phone. He says, Adam Driver, and I was just like, is he really ugly, dude? And Big List is like, yes. And I was like, okay, I know who Adam Driver is.
Is he related to Mini Driver?
You should not have come back.
You think? No? They both have dark hair.
That's racist.
Is it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I can picture. I can see him in the picture. But nobody else is looking at the pictures.
He looks like he's got to be tall and skinny.
Yeah, tall and skinny, kind of a longer face.
Yeah, he's got a...
dark hair.
I'll share my impressions about the cast, I guess, once we're done announcing it all. But I had an impression with several of them. Sorry, go on.
Okay, Oscar Isaac is another cast member.
Okay.
He's not an ugly dude.
Yeah, he's the anti-Adam Driver.
That's right.
And he's a younger guy, right? Well, they're all pretty young, I guess. And then Andy Serkis is a member of the cast.
Andy Serkis is bringing his circus to town.
I'll see you in hell!
I guess nothing much has been said about whether he's going to be himself as an actor or whether he's going to be motion captured.
Has he ever been himself as an actor?
From time to time.
He was Schmeagol, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, I guess he was for that one scene.
For that little where he killed his brother or whatever.
Where he killed, was it Deagle, his brother's name, or Beagle?
It was Deagle, I think. Give it to us. It's my birthday.
Okay. But has he ever done anything else other than that?
He has. He's not a good-looking dude. And I mean, I know that's the kettle calling the pot the N-word. But it's still just not... There's certain characters he excels at, and it's usually the CGI characters.
Yeah, when I saw him on the list, I was like, oh, hopefully that doesn't mean we got Jar Jar Jr. coming along. Because that's what it made me think we're going to be seeing. Of course, he's not as outlandish as in any of the characters he's played as Jar Jar was. But anyways, so Andy Serkis next.
And then I think it's Domhnall Gleeson.
Is it Domhnall? Or I always hear people call him Domhnall Gleeson, but that doesn't seem to work with the way it's spelled. Do you know how it's said?
I don't.
It's either a silent H or a silent N. Domhnall. I don't know.
I think you're actually supposed to say all of them. It's Domhnall.
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 I guess I should.
Now, he was from About Time, but apparently he was in a seldom viewed series of movies where there were 8 movies.
Jason? What was that? Friday the 13th?
No, not as big a deal as those movies. The Harry Potter movies, he was
Ron's
older
ones,
brother
yeah.
in those.
Oh, was he Percy?
No, he was the good one. The one that marries the hot chick from the
movie. Oh, yeah? He was the one that wound up being a
Bill Weasley
werewolf or whatever? Didn't he marry? He married the girl that.
Oh, that's right. There's Charlie and Bill. Oh, geez.
Was he Bill? Because Bill was the one that had the long hair with a ponytail, and he was all cool, and Harry thought he was neat. And then there was.
I think they combined those two characters in the movies, right?
Oh, I don't know. That's beyond my knowledge. I just remember there was a couple of brothers. Bill was the one, I think, that was like studying dragons.
Right.
And he was all cool and hip and had a ponytail. And then the girl, the French girl.
Fleur Delacour.
Fleur that married, I want to say she married Bill, wasn't it?
Marshall, do you know? And more importantly, do you care?
I don't know.
So he was a small part in those lesser known movies, but he was the main part in About Time, which is most important. Okay, moving on.
Okay, so the other original cast member would be Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill? Are you sure that guy was in the first movies?
I think so.
I don't remember that name.
You rebel scum.
Well, he does a lot of voice work. Maybe.
Only from...
Like, you know. Oh, he was the voice of, like, an alien, maybe? What about Kenny Baker? Is Kenny Baker at the table read?
Kenny Baker is... Yes, I saw that somewhere. It's not on this list, but I did see somewhere that Kenny Baker
would be.
I wonder,
as they read the script, somewhere. If they go around and then it like gets to Chewie's lines and Peter Mayhew just goes... And then it gets to R2's line and Kenny Baker just goes...
I bet beep, bop, bop, any beep, amount beep, of money, beep, yes, beep. They did that.
Because the funny thing is, and we probably mentioned this on this show itself, but there was that... like super massive documentary about Star Wars, and they showed behind or like raw footage or whatever from when they shot, and Peter Mayhew was actually saying lines that they just covered over with Chewbacca growling.
Right. Obi-Wan says, "Remember, the Force will be with you always." And Peter Mayhew goes, "That guy's mad." And Han goes, Oh, you said it, Chewie. Where did you dig up that old fossil? And you're just like, what?
Yeah. And I was so blown away by that. I was just like, holy crap. So I wonder, you know, the same thing's the case with R2-D2. When they wrote the script, they gave R2-D2 lines that they just converted to beeps. And obviously they did do that with Peter Mayhew's lines as Chewbacca. That's got to...
Or did he just improv it? Because I think looking at the script of Star Wars, I know all of R2-D2's lines were like written out, you know, bleep, 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 that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah? So they were? But, yeah, I was just wondering about that.
I remember Chewbacca.
The script that they read through for this Star Wars 7 cast read, does it have lines in there for Chewie? And then he just says them and then they're going to change them to growls?
I bet it doesn't. I'll bet it was only on that very first movie where they thought it was necessary to write what Chewie said. And afterward, they were just like, oh, well, we don't have to do that. We know how that works. And same with R2. You know, you can tell from 3PO's reaction what R2 must have said.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that there was such a thing as lines so that the actors could actually react like they know what they said. Anyways, sorry. Kenny Baker.
And then the most intriguing one for me is Max von Sydow. Is that how you sound it? Rhymes with Greedo?
Does it rhyme with Greedo?
I think so.
I don't know.
I heard something somewhere where they were talking about him, and I think they said Sydow.
I've always said Sydow, but I have no idea exactly. A lot of people I heard when they announced the cast saying Sydow.
Oh, no.
So I don't know.
That sounds like a Star Wars character.
I don't know how his name is said.
Well, yeah, his name in general, Max von Sydow.
It's funny because when somebody came to me, because we actually put this on the news, you know, obviously it's kind of a big deal. And yeah, somebody came to talk to me about it. And yeah, he had no idea who Max von Sydow was, which I found odd because he's probably the most experienced actor on the cast, probably even more so than Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford's been in a lot of films, but Max von Sydow started 15 years before him. So it's interesting that he would still be relatively unknown. Maybe I just know him because I was a film major and I've seen things like The Seventh Seal and things that general public tries to avoid.
The Exorcist.
Well, it's been a while since Sydow had his time in the sun. You know, I think of him as Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon, and that was like 80 or 81. And I don't know how much significant stuff he's done since then. So you have to be of a certain age to know who he is. Although that doesn't clear your friend.
Yeah. He is younger than I.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
He's probably 10 years younger than I, this
okay,
guy.
Okay, then your friend is in the clear.
Yeah, everybody.
You're all clear, friend of big. Now let's blow this.
That's what happens at where I work, is they just keep bringing in fresh college graduates to take up the reins of the people who quit. And so I'm now working for people half my age almost.
Now, there was one more rumor that I saw today that they might be casting the actress Lupita Nyong'o.
I don't know how you really say her name. She's cool. She People Magazine named her the most beautiful woman on Bespin, oddly enough.
Well, now we know where she comes from.
Don't make me destroy you.
But that's a rumor. I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay, but did you say Anthony Daniels?
Oh, yes, Anthony Daniels. He's sitting there.
Okay, thank goodness, man.
Yes.
Because I honestly, this is going to be controversial, he's the only name of all the ones you guys have said that needs to be in this movie.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
But anyhow, what about Billy Dee?
No Billy Dee.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Billy Dee. I saw somewhere a tweet that I want to say Billy Dee sent out there that said, like, bring back Lando or something. Like, hashtag bring back Lando. So Billy Dee's petitioning to get... I mean, you would think he's on Dancing with the Stars, man. His star has never been brighter than since, you know, the last Schlitz commercial ran that he was in.
I'm thinking maybe he was in the script. But when they saw him on Dancing with the Stars, they removed him from the cast.
Maybe that's it. They're like, oh, he's doing that dance. Oh, forget it.
Well, hey, let's talk about this. First, let's talk about the returning cast members.
Yeah, because I remember I remember a conversation that you and I had about this way, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months ago. And you were kind of saying you hoped they didn't come into the cast. So I was interested to see how you feel about that now.
Apparently, and you know, it's all just a rumor, but apparently Michael Arndt's script was all about the Next Generation. And he had small, almost cameo parts for each of the classic cast, if you will. And J.J. didn't want to do that. J.J. wanted to do an adventure, a final adventure of the classic Star Wars group. And I don't know if we'll ever find out if that is true or not, but that was the rumor that I heard. And so they scrapped Arndt's script, brought in Kasdan, and said, let's postpone this film and see if we can't do something that pleases J.J. And, you know, I'm not sure that that's a good idea. I would like to just say, okay, hey, these are our new cast members. Fall in love with them the same way that you fell in love with the last ones, if you fell in love with them. I mean, even even the prequels actors were in the shadow of these guys. You know, Jake Lloyd looked like baby Mark Hamill. Natalie Portman was supposed to look like she could be, you know, Carrie Fisher related, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had Ewan McGregor doing a pseudo Alec Guinness impression. I mean, there were a couple of line readings where you can really tell, hey, that's him doing Alec Guinness. And then the rest of the time he, you know, he sort of made the character his own. I don't know what Ian McDiarmid was doing there. But anyhow, they were playing pre-existing characters or related to pre-existing characters. And so they were sort of boxed in with that. And I don't know if the vast majority of film goers would have been disappointed if there had been 5 minutes total screen time for our favorite three cast members from the olden days. But now that it's all greatest hits, it's like you go to the concert of your favorite band and they play a bunch of the greatest hits, but they don't play your greatest hit song. So if Wedge doesn't show up, so if Lando doesn't show up, but you know, if there's somebody that we know from the original trilogy, I think maybe you'll feel their absence. It's like, now where is Lando? Why is he not there by Han's side? And the answer, again, we may never know.
He's dead, man. Yeah, I don't know. That is an interesting thing. I think, and this was years before they ever got around to announcing they were going to do post, I guess we could call this a sequel. And we can
the
call
sequel
it
trilogy.
A sequel.
Let's call it that. Is that okay, Marshall? Do you approve calling it the sequel trilogy?
I do. I approve.
I was going to call it the postquel trilogy, which is pretty sad that I'm making up a stupid word for a word that already exists. But anyways, yeah, before they ever announced the sequel trilogy, I remember talking with you on our other podcast called The Dune Steef, talking about how I would love to see a Star Wars film where we just get a cameo. You know, you've got Han, you got Leia, she's senator of the New Republic, and Mark Hamill is Yoda of this Jedi Order training young Jedis, and you just see them for a little bit, and now we have a younger group of folks that we follow through a bunch of movies, and we still have our classic characters that we love, but we just get a little of them. And that is what I was kind of hoping, and I guess maybe I'm the same way as you with that, Rish, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case, if I'm really worried that it won't be as awesome or if it'll be like a greatest hits concert. I don't want it to seem like old and tired like it may turn out to. I mean, you've got 70 how old Harrison Ford running around chasing the stormtroopers through the Death Star going behind him with a gun. I can't see him doing that kind of stuff. Well, yeah. I mean, he's Harrison Ford. Of course he looks good. But
yeah, I always envisioned it just being them kind of being in cameos, handing it off to the newer cast, and then moving forward from that point on. Like, they'd be in the first movie, and then that would be it. Or they might be referenced or have little tiny spots. But now it's kind of different. I don't know what my expectations are.
Let me interrupt for a second. When they announced the cast, did they say Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher first? Or did they go in alphabetical order? Or, I mean, are we to understand these are the stars of this new movie, these three? Or
they haven't really said who has how much or what their involvement is going to be.
Yeah, that hasn't really been announced.
I think it is good that they did announce the cast at this point so that we know what to look towards rather than leaving in a mystery right up to the premiere.
Yeah. It does make me wonder. Rish and I were talking not too long ago about like the most anticipated movies. There was a list I saw on YouTube that was the most anticipated movies that turned out to be such a letdown when you finally saw them, and there was a list of 10 of them. And of course, number one of all was Star Wars Episode One.
Yes. And I think I saw that one too.
We were saying that that's probably got to be a record that can never be beat. There can never be something that has as much anticipation as that. Even if with these new ones, I don't think there's any way they can ever quite reach that same level. Although, you know, putting out this cast, 18 months or so before the movie comes out, that's got to help to ramp up the expectations and get everybody talking and excited.
And yeah, get your head wrapped around what could be coming your way.
Yeah, I'll say now my thing that I thought as I went through the cast list when I first saw it, that there was pictures of everybody that was with it. And I looked at it and I thought...
And Marshall, how did you look at the list? If you would go to moviephone.com also, that's where there's that picture that shows the girl, the Daisy girl, where I was just like, oh my gosh, who does that look like?
Is it Movie Phone with the F or is it with a P?
Yeah, it's with an F. And yeah, I'm sorry for wasting your guys' time. I just wanted you to see that picture so you could say, oh, wow, I know what you're talking about, Rish. Or, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, second picture. Pictures?
Oh, yeah, that's the picture I saw.
Okay, who does that look like? Can you see that picture, Marshall?
I think IO9 may have the same picture.
Yeah, she's not done a lot, so maybe.
So what did you...
What's her name again? Daisy Fuentes?
I don't know. Daisy
Duke.
Oh, man, that would be totally awful, man.
Ridley, isn't it? Daisy Ridley?
Yep, Daisy Ridley.
So anyways, yeah, I saw the pictures with each of the cast members, and I kind of clicked through them, and I was like, okay, first of all, well, you have John Boyega, who is the only black guy in the cast. And so obviously, instantly, I'm thinking, okay, this guy's Lando Jr. And then there's Domhnall Gleeson, kind of sandy, blondish, almost hair. And I'm thinking, okay, this guy's Luke Jr. And then there's Oscar Isaac. I'm not sure who he is. He's a little bit of a pretty boy. Maybe he's, you know, actually, when I saw the picture of him, I was thinking this guy must somehow be related to Obi-Wan. It looks kind of like maybe he could be our new Ewan McGregor actor here. Because Ewan McGregor is, again, like a pretty boy playing somebody. Then you see what's this guy's name now? Adam Driver. Then you see Adam Driver. He's funny looking and all, but he also kind of, I don't know what it is about him, but the picture that I saw made me think this guy's got to be like Han Jr. somehow.
Click over. I want to see the picture you're talking about, man.
It's the one where he had like a little goatee. I think it was the one that we saw on that last page that we were just looking at.
Oh, see, that guy screams bad guy to me for some reason. What is
your
impression?
Too. That's what I was thinking, too.
I see Max von Sydow, and I think, oh, bad guy. This guy could very well be bad guy as well. I don't know. And then, of course, you got Daisy Ridley, and I look at that, and I think, okay, there's Leia Jr., or more so, Amidala granddaughter, because she looks so much like Natalie Portman, don't you think, or do you think that?
Totally, yeah.
It's like a slightly younger Natalie Portman. We're going like 10 years younger now. Here is Natalie Portman. She would be Princess Amidala if the prequel trilogy was starting today. And she's gorgeous, which is good.
Do we want these all to be Luke, Han, Leia, and Lando's kids? If it's been 30 years since Return of the Jedi in Star Wars time, aren't these awful young people to be their kids? Are we talking grandkids at this point?
Could be. Has it been 30 years? I guess it has since the movie itself.
32 in real life, right? Or when the movie comes out.
Maybe they didn't have kids until later. You know, they had republics to run
to build,
here.
Yes.
They had stuff to do. They couldn't just have kids right away. So they had them a little later. It's standard to have your kids more when you're like late 30s these days, so.
That's something that I'm really interested in finding out is how much, because the other big news that came out just before the cast was announced, and I guess it had been stewing for a while and pretty much we knew the outcome, but they have decided that all of the expanded universe novels are essentially not part of the canon. However, they reserve the right to use those characters or those situations if they see fit.
Well, the prequels kind of threw all that stuff into question as well. When suddenly there's a rule that there can only be two Sith at the same time, when suddenly the Sith means something, and suddenly Jedi are all monks that have to die virginally, then the whole idea of Luke and Mara Jade having a buttload of Force-sensitive kids is just like, well, that's not the Jedi way. We want this species to die out.
Right.
I mean, yeah, both of the philosophies, the Sith philosophy and the Jedi philosophy, solely serve to make those groups extinct.
It's one of those things that I think is weird, and it happens all too often. Like, for example, I'm reading the Game of Thrones books, and you have the guys that are on the wall. What is the purpose behind making this a lifetime calling? That, and you can never have children if you go to the wall. Why would anyone go to the wall?
But they call it taking the black, and that sounds to me like entering a priesthood.
I guess, but yeah, what's the purpose? Why would they do that? It's a
choice that people are given. They can go to prison, or they can take the black.
Right.
No, I'm not joking. No. That's how it works on Game of Thrones.
So if there's two choices, that's freedom, right?
I suppose, but then you're not really free because you have to go up to this crappy, super... It's basically like you go to the North Pole and you stand on a wall that's made out of ice in the North Pole. Is this better than dying? And on top of that, you can't ever have sex again and anything else along those lines, or else you're, you know, forswearing your vows. And on top of that, there's... In the same book, there's the King's Guard, where in this case, they're the White Cloaks. They take the white in this one. And Jaime Lannister, for example, is on the King's Guard. And in that same case, you give up all your, you know, he would have been the Lord of Casterly Rock, but instead he's taken the white. He can't inherit lands. He gives his life to the king. He can't have children. He can't marry. Why did that? Why does that kind of stuff come up so much in fiction? It's like you said, the sole thing behind that is that this will make these people go away. And that's what happens in Game of Thrones. Nobody wants to go to the wall, and all the Night's Watch is dying off. There are all these castles that used to be manned are not. Why isn't it just like being a soldier? Everybody has to do it. You know, you're conscripted or whatever. You have to go there. You have to spend 5 years on the wall. Every man has to do this or something. Would make so much more sense. But whatever.
Well, yeah, in the Star Wars universe, if the Jedi have been wiped out, the most logical thing is to find Force-sensitive children, raise them up, and have them intermarry.
Right.
And then we're going to have super Force-sensitive grandchildren. I mean, I don't know. Because of the whole midichlorians spanner that's been thrown in the works. What does that mean? I mean,
that's not it. Get me the hydro spanner.
That's right. What's his name? Anakin was supposedly conceived by the midichlorians or by Darth Plagueis's sperm, his evil Sith sperm. Well, does that mean that Luke had to have the Force because it's in his blood? Or, you know, I like the idea that anybody could have the Force, and anybody could become a Jedi if they dedicate themselves to that, and that you would want the Jedi to have more children, so we would have more Jedi.
See, yeah, and I'm hoping, that some of that goes away, you know, that Luke will realize, or well, he probably doesn't know unless Yoda tells him or whatever.
Right, yeah, they can throw all that crap out, because the Jedi are gone. They were wiped out, and Luke doesn't know anything about them.
Yeah, because he could say, look what happened to the Jedi. During the Clone Wars and before that, they were becoming a weaker and weaker force. And this is why. Because you had these rigid rules, and you know, wouldn't let anybody express, have a family or anything like that. I think there's a better way. So maybe Luke will lead it toward that, rather than back to the old ways.
And see, that only makes sense because his father's love for him is what saved him from the Emperor.
Correct.
His father breaking the rules of having attachment and caring about something other than the darn robes and the light stick made all the difference. I guess, I mean, because Luke had to make it up as he went along. I mean, unless there were extended sequences where Yoda talked about, you know, just where Yoda said, "In your pants, you will keep it."
He's just running along with Yoda on his back, and he's like, "Jedi never likes a woman. Jedi doesn't like boobies."
Okay. Sorry, sir.
Okay, go to the cave.
A Jedi doesn't go in the cave.
Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so we don't know anything about the story. We don't know anything about the title yet. There was a rumor that we would all find out the title. It didn't happen.
Yeah, I was sad to hear that.
Kasdan is back as the screenwriter. Williams is back as the composer. But I don't know. What would you prefer, Marshall? Would you prefer that Han, Leia, and Luke all have this awesome adventure in which they drag their kids or grandkids, and then the next film is all about the grandkids or kids? Or if Han, Leia, and Luke sort of play the old Ben, General Dodonna, give me another old person that's
Admiral
in Star
Akbar?
Wars character.
Mon Mothma,
Admiral
Riken. Akbar.
I really kind of hope that the children are few, like possibly this Daisy
Fuentes.
Daisy Fuentes.
Daisy Ridley.
Yes, she could be like the Jenea or whatever. She could be the Solo daughter.
Well, but, hey, wait, do you give her that name?
I don't know.
Do you say, hey, there's already a Solo, a Leia and Han daughter. Let's give her that name. Or do you just say, none of that happened. Get over it. There's not going to be a Jason Solo.
Felt really wackily.
Yeah, I guess if they do use that name, then people would expect there to be two more children, at least, in there. And they might be even more let down that it's not like the Expanded Universe novels. So maybe it'd be better to stay away from that.
But yeah, I kind of agree with you as far as that goes. When I look at this cast, I'm hoping that one of them is the child of, you know, one of these people, and then the rest are just kind of their group of friends, their hangers-on or whatever. It makes me think of, and I think, too, it might be fun. Well, I don't know if you could call this fun. Maybe that's not the right word for it. But it might be interesting if there was a bunch of others. Like, this is something that happened in the Dragonlance series. I don't know if you've ever read those books.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they did the Chronicles series and they did the Heroes series. And then after that, they had this series where it was the children of the main characters. And you have this character. I can't even think of his name now, darn it. But he was the big, you know, strong warrior guy. And he had like
Cameron.
Cameron. Okay. He had three sons. And these three sons were all like knights, basically. And then he had one son who was a wizard.
Like his brother.
And like his brother, Raistlin. They start out this new series. And like the first scene is the son that's the wizard. And there was just a battle. And they catch this son that was a wizard, like trying to hide somewhere, and they bring him out, and they say, yeah, we wiped out all these knights that were here. And you find out that all of these sons of Cameron's were killed, like before the story even starts. You only hear about them. And so this, you know, this idea of, oh, we'll have all their kids going on an adventure, and then boom, no, it's just this one. Might be an interesting thing where if there was, you could have Jason and whoever the hell. I've never read any of these extended universe books, so I don't.
There was a Cade Skywalker. There was Anakin Solo. Yeah, it seemed like there was a mess of kids.
Yeah. So you could even start out with all these kids and then just boom, they're dead. All dead. And the only one that lives is our main character.
It could be that, or it could be something else. I'm hoping it's something totally different than what we're expecting. You know, I don't necessarily want to see a teenage Pebbles and Bam Bam type of thing, you know, where
you don't want to see the Hangover Part 2 where the exact same thing happens, but this time in Thailand.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Especially if the exact same thing that happens is going to be one of those things that happened in the prequels, because we can do without that.
Well, the backbone of any drama is conflict. And one of the things that makes Star Wars so great is just how dire everything is in the galaxy. You know what I mean? It's just like the bad guys rule with an iron fist. And anybody who dissents, you know, meets an untimely end. And it's possible that 30 years after Return of the Jedi, things are going that way again. I don't know. It would be neat if you could have some kind of danger that's great and looming and nigh unstoppable, like the Empire was. And I haven't read a lot of those Expanded Universe books. Marshall, I know we were going to do an episode about them sometime. If there's somebody out there who has read a lot about them, it would be fun to just talk about which ones are good and which ones are bad. But one thing that they did after a while was that they came up with an idea of let's create a villain.
Yes.
That's insanely powerful, and it was called the Yuuzhan Vong. And I've never read any of these books, but the galaxy is invaded by this deadly species that are unstoppable. And they weren't just the villains in one book. They were the villains in every book from that point on. And to me, I was just like, wow, what a cool idea. And the New Republic became smaller and smaller. And it's like, how do we beat these guys? And all that they could do was defeat like a Yuuzhan Vong ship or a Yuuzhan Vong commander at the end of a book. But there's still just tons and tons more. And they'd lose planets. And we lost the lives of several of these characters along the way, which I thought was neat because stuff started to happen again. And again, I didn't read these books. Maybe this is putting a pretty bow on something that's spoiled. But it seemed like a cool idea. And if you can have something where the New Republic lasted for a little while and it was great, but it's not great anymore, and there's very little to go on. Like you said, killing all of these potential Jedi or killing all of these good guys, and now it's just us again. Han, Luke, Leia, and Chewie, and the droids, you know, land the Millennium Falcon on some planet, and it's like, we're all that's left. And it's like, we've got to make do with what we can find on this planet, and they find a bunch of kids. And it's like, okay, well, let's teach them to be what we were back when it really mattered. I don't know. That's the only thing that I can think of where you can actually have the stakes be as high as they were back in the Star Wars days.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody that Leia knew and loved was killed almost at the very beginning of that first movie.
Yeah. Well, and see, I stopped reading the books before then also, and I always looked at that as kind of a cheapening of the Star Wars, like they were trying to make it like Aliens versus Star Wars, or, you know, bringing something like a Star Trek thing where you have the Romulans, and if the Romulans are not good enough, then you bring in the Borg kind of thing, which was fine for Star Trek, but trying to mesh that in with Star Wars.
It's just Star Trek. I mean,
exactly. Don't do that to Star Wars.
I don't think Star Trek, except for Nemesis, has anything as bad as the prequels.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know.
Sorry, that's me defending Star Trek for you three listeners back home.
No, I love Star Trek too. It's just I just didn't like that mixing of, you know, trying to make. But again, I haven't read them, so I can't really judge them either.
The one thing that I worry about with if they do something like that is the Hangover Part 2 thing. Yuuzhan Vong seems like we've got, oh, here's the Empire. It's back, but now they're aliens. I would be afraid of it seeming like a replay, you know? It's like we had Star Wars, they blew up the Death Star at the end. We had Return of the Jedi, they blew up the Death Star at the end. And then you have The Phantom Menace, and oh, they're going up to blow up the space station again in the final bit, and you're just like, oh,
the really? Same way you blew up the Death Star?
I guess at least hopefully the Yuuzhan Vong will not have a Death Star if they do make an appearance.
And see, I'm tempted to say, well, you're so smart. What would you do?
I'm not smart, but
where does the conflict come from if you're making these movies?
That's what I was just thinking, too. What would be the best way to bring the conflict in? Another way to to bring in the old cast would be, and I think, Big, you said you watched the G.I. Joe Retaliation movie or whatever. Uh-huh. But you could have a situation where you have all these younger characters and they're in like the 90% of the movie, and they get in more and more trouble, and they finally say, you know what? We need some help. We need to call General Solo. And then they, you know, because like in the G.I. Joe where, you know, Bruce Willis comes in at the end and he helps them just kick butt or whatever. You know, you could do that where they go to General Solo and Master Skywalker and say, hey, we need your help. And then they come in and I don't know. That's probably not the direction they're going, but that would be another way to do that.
Maybe there's some way that you can, you know, the New Republic is a fledgling thing. Maybe there's some way you can bring it into that. You could have maybe factions sprouting up and the Republic breaking apart and they have to do something to save it in that way. I don't know. I mean, I'm not so smart. So unfortunately, I don't know.
Or maybe, you know, you go a different route. Instead of having an empire or an invading force, you have the underground crime, you know, become strong because of, you know, they're so busy. The Empire and the Alliance was so busy fighting each other, and now you have this new Republic. But underneath all that, this
Jabba the Hutt rules everything from his gangster oh, wait, no, he's dead.
Sparrow the Hutt.
No, get rid of the Hutts.
The I don't know, Hutts some, are ruling some other kind with of, their gang.
The bounty hunters get together. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's say that everything has been good for 20 years, 25 years, and so Leia and Han and Luke all retire. Han goes back to his life as a gambler, as a smuggler, as, you know, like, this is where I wanted to be. And because I love this woman, I tried to be on the up and up, and I tried to be respectable and all that. And she was a politician, and she did her thing, and she made great strides. But now I'm going to go off and be Han again. And Luke trained up all these Jedi, taught them everything that they knew, and it's time for them to take over. And so they all have retired.
And now he's going to go back everything. And shoot rats at Beggar's
yes,
Canyon again.
Yes, that's right. Womp rats. That's what he missed most of all. He bought a T-16 like everyone does in their midlife crisis. Anyhow, everything is great, and these guys retire, and then it all goes to hell. And let's say that it's the Jedi themselves that Luke has trained. They're just like, why do we even need the Republic? We made the galaxy safe for democracy. Let's take over. And all these Jedi that Luke invested half of his life training have become corrupt, and they all take over, and suddenly it's a military state of fear again. Only now it's Jedi ruling with an iron fist. And it's just like, oh, shoot, now we got to go fix all this crap again. I don't know. I don't want there to be a Sith Lord that shows up and he has his apprentice again, because that's the easy thing. That's the thing that we expect them to do. You know, it's like we're going to see Max von Sydow as the new emperor, and he's going to have this young apprentice that's
funny
super badass
Adam
and cool.
Adam Driver?
And I don't know. What I want is there to just be a ton of bad guys. Way more bad guys than there are good guys, and maybe all we have is 5, 6, 7, 8 good guys, a ragtag group again, which to me would be really fun. And I hope Lando shows up at some point, just even if, you know, all we can get is Billy Dee for 2 days and we're going to shoot, you know, one scene where they land at a spaceport, and guess who's running that spaceport? And thank goodness, because we were out of fuel, and, you know, who's going to protect us from the guys that are following us? I don't know. And it's counterintuitive to say, I hope that they do this, and wouldn't it be neat to do this? Because they never do what we expect them to do. And in the prequels case, sometimes I'm really disappointed because we put in a lot of imagination, and then we were like, oh, he accidentally kills Padme? What? But.
Well, see, and then the cool thing would be you could go back to do somebody turning into a Sith Lord or whatever, or going to the dark side, but you do it very slowly. You grow to love this character, you know, not doing the Anakin thing over again, but really make it real this time and do it slow and do it right. And you have this character that's in an arc of movies that eventually goes to the dark side kind of thing. if you're going to go that route.
Now, we'll save that for the remake of the prequels when they do that again and this time get it right.
I'm hoping that Daisy Ridley turns out to be our Sith Lord. Because I look at her and, yeah, her face just screams Dark Side of the Force to me. It's only a year and a half away, which in adult time is nothing.
Yeah, it'll be next week.
It's so weird. And how much can they keep secret, do you think? I mean, like John Boyega and these guys, would we have ever found out they were in the movie until the first trailer hit if they hadn't done this press release?
I think we might. I mean, it all depends. You got people tweeting about stuff. You've got crazy fans that report for TMZ that are going to be on, like, you know, camping out outside the set with their cell phone cameras rolling anytime anybody drives past, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you wouldn't know the truth until you actually saw it, but you'd have lots and lots of rumors, I'm sure. And we'll still get lots and lots of rumors, I suppose. It's even a humongously different world than it was when the last Star Wars movie came out, as far as that stuff goes. You can't avoid spoilers unless you just aren't the kind of person that looks for them. And you, Rish Outfield, are the kind of person that goes to the places that gives you those spoilers. So you have to actively try to avoid them in your case. Whereas me, I'm oblivious, so I miss all those things.
Well, and I think Abrams probably learned some lessons with the Star Trek Into Darkness, where he tried to keep the con thing down, where that kind of blew up in his face a little bit, being secretive about who the big bad guy was going to be. So he might be trying to soften the load a little bit here and put things out a little bit at a time to help the audience settle down and focus a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I would think. Just drop a few drops out there every now and then so you've got a little bit of stuff that you can talk about without, you know, giving away the important things.
They've really tried to keep a lid on this thing. Like, how many times have you seen Harrison Ford or Hamill or Carrie Fisher interviewed where somebody asks them, so are you in the new Star Wars? And they're like, yeah. There's only so many ways they can say, which I think is, I'm contractually obligated not to say anything. But you can't say I'm contractually obligated not to say anything, because you wouldn't be contractually obligated if you weren't in it. I don't know. Big and I always talk about, wouldn't it be great if that movie came out next week and we don't know anything about it and we could just go see it? We don't know who's in it. We don't know what the costumes are like. We don't know what, you know, the music. We haven't had everything spoiled by, okay, trailer number 3 gave away way too much, guys. It's like, oh, hey, there's a track on the soundtrack that says that it's Qui-Gon's funeral, guys. It's just like, oh, you're like, oh, no. It would just be so neat to be able to go. And
there's a Weird Al Yankovic song that sings the entire plot from beginning to end. So I don't need to see the movie anymore.
I usually try to avoid as much as I can as far as actually seeing footage of the movie. So I'll be avoiding trailers probably until right up to the before I see it.
Yeah, luckily for me, I'd never see any movies, so I miss most of the trailers unless I see them on YouTube sometimes.
But think of how big a deal the trailers for the prequels were, where people would go see a movie like Wing Commander to see the trailer. There's no way Disney's not going to capitalize on that. They'll have commercials for Pirates of the Caribbean 5. Well, no, that can't even happen. It's movies that are being made now that are going to have the exclusive trailer or whatever and say, you know, we know that you don't really care about whatever comes out next summer.
That darn Avengers cat, too.
But it's going to have a trailer for Star Wars on it, so go see
those darn cats.
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't you want to go see that trailer and be excited like we were about the... I mean, despite Yoda's messed up face, I still remember where I was when I first saw that Phantom Menace trailer. And it's just like, wow, listen to the music. This is coming. This is really going to happen.
Yeah, I remember being really excited, but after how that all went, I have to admit that I'm apprehensive still about it. I'm afraid to get too excited because I don't want the letdown that comes from being too excited.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Fool me once.
My. I am once bitten, twice shy, babe.
A little great white for you there.
Okay. You've got kids, and even if you're not excited, your kids becoming excited will get you excited. I mean, that is the way of things, the way of the Force. And so seeing your kids get all excited, and it's like, oh, and dad, and then there was a girl, and she had horns, and she had a lightsaber, and it was yellow, and nobody ever had a yellow lightsaber before. And you're going to be like, wow, that sounds actually pretty cool. Described by a 7-year-old, I can't wait to see this thing.
I suppose that's possible. I have a son who is 14 now, and he was super into Star Wars when he was younger and the prequel movies were coming out. I assume that he will get into it again and be like that. I don't know. When he was, I think he turned 5, his birthday cake was, we got the Anakin Skywalker figure and the Obi-Wan figure, and we made a cake that looked like a volcano, and they were fighting with nice. Their lightsabers on top of the volcano for his cake. And I assume that love, just like it was for us when we were children and we gained this love for Star Wars, you know, I'm assuming it didn't go away. And when these ones start coming out, you know, he'll get excited and be crazy for it. And I suppose I'll really want to see it. I really want to see it anyways. I'm just I'm afraid to be let down. I can't be hurt like that again. I don't know if I can.
I think you're summing up the feelings of a lot of Star Wars fans. And I don't know if it's possible for Disney or Lucasfilm or Abrams or whoever's in charge of that to put away all of those fears and all of that. You know, I understand that your real dad let you down, but I'm your new stepdad, and I'm going to take care of you and your mom. I don't know.
I understand that your real dad grew that weird neck pouch, but it's okay. See, I don't have a neck pouch. Do you see? I've got a normal chin.
That's messed up, guys.
But see, I'm encouraged for the new movies. You know, if you look at the people that are involved, if you look at Abrams, if you look at Kasdan, these are people that are excited about Star Wars. They're not. I guess some of it could be ego, but not as much as it was. You know, with Lucas trying to reinvent things with the prequels. You know, I think you have people that care about the material and they care about these characters and they grew up with these. Well, Kasdan was part of the original trilogy.
So was Lucas.
So I feel encouraged that it's in good hands. I guess I'll see if I'm wrong or right, but I think...
Well, does anybody know, sorry to interrupt, but does anybody know how involved George is in this thing? I mean, was he there for that table read?
No.
Is he having nothing to do with this?
I saw a article that said something about George Lucas having an idea that they have gone and turned, you know, he kind of gave them the seed of the idea or something like that. So I think he may have at least something, some finger.
So he'll have like a story by credit, you think?
Well, I think you'll get that probably no matter what. Even if it says story by George Lucas and blah, 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 blah. You know, he's...
Well, I heard something where before it was sold, Lucasfilm was sold to Disney, that he had ideas for the movie and he had talked with Abrams about it or talked with people about what he wanted the movie to be. Maybe it wasn't Abrams at the time. And they were kind of going that direction, but other than the original idea, that he was more hands-off on it, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I hope that it will turn out okay. I'm apprehensive. I'm afraid... I'll still get excited, and I'll probably be like it was when the prequels came out, where I would go and see each one and be like, I liked it. And then, you know, it wasn't until time passed, and then I was like, oh, actually, it's not very good after all, is it? Hopefully that time passing thing doesn't happen with these ones, but I'm sure I will go and just to hear John Williams' music playing with pictures going on. I'll just be like, yay, I love it.
See, that was such a good decision that they made. And we're not going to see that many more movies that John Williams scores. And to have him back here doing what he does best, even if it is for one last time, that means something. And that it, it says to me that they thought about what makes Star Wars the same. We had a conversation, Marshall. Do you remember? It's like, what makes these new movies Star Wars to you?
Yeah. Yep.
That's a big part of it, is John Williams' score. It brings a feel to it, and it ties things together. Even though I don't like those prequels, you hear that music and it feels right. And yeah, I don't know if they want to evoke the same feeling that we had in the original trilogy, or if they want to shoot off in a new direction. It would be smart to just shoot off in a new direction and say these are going to feel like their own thing, because they are their own thing, guys. But as long as...
Well, but when you have Mark Hamill in a scene, you're going to have the Force theme. And you're probably going to have the Leia theme when she's around, kind of thing. You know, or at least echoes of it in the score, I would think.
Well, yeah, they'd be crazy not to. And I don't know, I want to like it so much, and I think Williams' music will help me to say, oh, you know, I can lower my guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Not hearing that Fox theme at the beginning will be strange, but once you see A Long Time Ago and you see, you know, the same font and the same fanfare when Star Wars shows up, that means something, even if it's just talking to our subconscious.
Yeah, as long as the crawl doesn't have the word taxation in it or something like that. But, you know, I think Abrams, you know, he knows the history. He knows the fan reaction to the prequels and stuff like that. So, you know, I think he'll try to make it a good experience for everybody. I think he's done a good job with Star Trek, even though not everybody's happy. That wasn't something that he loved as much as he did Star Wars. So I have hope. A new hope. So what do you guys want the title to be?
You know, I don't know. We'll find out who named Empire Strikes Back and say, okay, you get to name this movie.
There you go.
That's the best title of all six.
I want it to be called The Attack of the Clowns.
There you go. Oh, no.
I want it to be called something really esoteric, like The Quantum of Solace.
The Execution of Jar Jar Binks.
Or I just want it to be another movie that uses the word Rise of the Sith.
There you go.
Because there hasn't been enough movies in the last 10 years with Rise in the title.
Well, see, I was not knowing the plot, you know, I was thinking but they would be too close to the Timothy Zahn novel, but Dark Force Rising or something like that.
No, it has to be Rise of the Dark Force.
Rise of the Planet of the Sith.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just hope it's not a dumb title. Speaking of esoteric titles, The Phantom Menace was, what is that? It's dumb. So not something lame like that. And not something corny sounding like The Attack of the Clowns. I mean, clones, sorry.
Well, but you could say The Empire Strikes Back is kind of corny, even though I think it's brilliant. You know, some people would say that's kind of a corny thing.
What's corny about it?
Well, I don't know.
You think it's corny because it's been around for 30 years. And now it's been, you know, done and redone and copied and parodied. It's like my experience with the movie E.T. I didn't see E.T. when I was a child. Everybody in the world but me saw E.T. when they were children. I didn't see it until I was over 20. And I watched it and I thought, meh, it's good, but, you know, I've seen it before.
Right.
Was basically my feeling, because since it came out, there was 100 movies that copied it. You know, I'm just like, yeah, it's good, but I saw it back when I saw Mac and Me.
Yeah.
Oh, you bastard.
So, you know, I think you're probably saying that with, you know, looking through that kind of a lens. I don't think there's anything corny about The Empire Strikes Back, per se.
These all came from, like, old serials, right? That's where George Lucas was going with the titles and the episodes. And
yeah, it was kind of his inspiration, which I think is probably where the dumb title of The Attack of the Clones came from. I hope they don't pick the cheesy ones when they go back and pick the title. I hope it's something more interesting. You know, it's funny because I was trying to find the title because I'd heard that on May the 4th they would be announcing that. And I searched for it, and there was several titles that came up. One that came up, which I finally realized, I think was actually just the name of the website, but there was one that was called The Order of the Jedi, which I thought, Order of the Phoenix. Maybe you should skip that one.
That might be too close to the novel,
is it?
Too.
Yeah.
Oh, the New Jedi Order?
Yeah.
And then there was a couple others, which was something about the revenge of the... It was some Sith-related thing. The return of the Sith and crap like that, which I kind of hope they don't go that route, as we've already said. Not do what you expect. But I don't know.
Any last thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, we'll have tons more stuff to talk about with each revelation, with each step closer to that movie. If this podcast is still going, I'm sure we'll do an episode of "Did you see the trailer?"
or make that part of it anyway.
Yeah. My last thought is just the Force will be with you always.
That was nice, man. I wanted to end this all on a very sour note, but now I can't. Good job. Hey, thank you for listening. We have a Facebook page, and if you'd like to go there and suggest topics or suggest people we should talk to, please do that. That would be cool. I would like to do more of these episodes, but it's all on Marshall's shoulders.
I went to the Facebook page, but I couldn't find the dislike button. Is there not one of those?
There is not.
We had it deactivated.
You had Obi-Wan sneak in and deactivate the dislike button. What's that? Did you hear something?
Probably another drill.
One of the ideas we've been kicking around is to have where Rish and Big and myself and maybe Renee or whoever else would like to join in would interview their kids about what they think about Star Wars. And so if you have questions that you'd like us to ask kids about Star Wars, you can I'll put a category for that on the forum and submit your questions that you'd like us to ask our kids about Star Wars.
That's cool. And yeah, there's any number of topics that we could talk about. When you're this passionate about something, it can go in any number of directions. So give us some suggestions, and I if one of them strikes our fancy, we'll jump on it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this episode, we've talked a lot about the news around the new movie, and that's a lot of fun to do, but it's fun to have different things to talk about in each episode and not just make it a latest news type of podcast. We like to have all kinds of different subject matter to come from. So if you have any suggestions, stop by on the Facebook page or on the forums.
Yeah, if you've seen some kind of Nightline clip from like 1983 on YouTube that you really thought we should talk about.
Hey, I thought that made for a really good episode. And one time Marshall said, "We'll read some of our Star Wars fan fiction on the show." And I laughed and shook my head, but that would actually be pretty cool.
He laughed and he shook his head, and then as soon as he pressed stop on his recording, he went down to the basement and pulled out that box, dusted it off, pulled it out and started reading. Which one of these is the one that I want to use?
I only have one, so I'd have to write another one. All right. Well, thanks, Big, for coming along. And I'm sure we'll have you back on the show again sometime.
You think?
I think so.
Man, it's been a long time since I was on last time.
Every bike needs a third wheel.
All right. Well, thanks. It's been a pleasure for me to be here.
And we'll see you back here in about a month, everybody.
Including me. All right. See ya.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The Delusions of Grandeur podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means you can share it with anyone, but do not change it or sell it. Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
How was the sound on that last episode? Because I was in somebody's kitchen and people just kept coming in and doing the dishes while we were recording.
I got rid of most of that. You know, sometimes you could hear the water running when you were talking, but I got rid of any noise that was happening if you weren't talking at the time.
Dang those people, man. It's so hard to get people to stop doing the dishes. Everybody loves it so much. Yeah, that's tough. This can be edited out. Are we going to pretend like it is May the 4th? Or are we going to do a post-May the 4th be with you conversation, a wrap-up?
I was just thinking about doing a wrap-up.
A May the 4th roundup, as they like to call it sometimes in the news.
Yeah, if we had thought ahead, we probably could have recorded this last week and had it released for May the 4th, but what would we have talked about?
Exactly.
I heard that.
It's not like we have anything new to say about a nearly 40-year-old film.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why we have a podcast about it.